Here is our Jays and MLB analyst here at TSN, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you too. Before we get to the Jays and Bichette and everything, let's begin with the Cardinals, where earlier this afternoon, I think Buster Olney had a report that another staff member has tested positive. They've already had their Friday game in Chicago and the Southside postponed to Saturday, but that seems to be up in the air. They've played five games. They haven't played in 2 weeks. They haven't played in August. Like, what happens? What's going to happen here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I think that I mean, look, the one thing's clear, they're not going to get in 60 games. I mean, you're talking about right now 55 games in 44 days. Not going to happen. You can't double up games enough. I don't care if you're playing seven-inning games or five-inning games. You can't do it. And so I think that we're just going to have to wait it out, and teams are going to end up being in a position where they're likely going to end up with 60 games. We're going to have to go with winning percentage across the board, whether it's the Cardinals or the teams who are supposed to play the Cardinals who can't make up the games. I think the question is going to come down to, with regard to the Cardinals particularly, but as we get deeper into the season, if there's another team that has an outbreak and there's not enough time to make up some of the games that they lose, you know, they're going to get to a level of you know, what is the minimal amount of games? What's the minimum that a team can play and still qualify for the postseason? Because I know we're using winning percentage, but at some point, if you're only playing 30 games and other teams are playing 60 games, you're playing a different game. You're playing a different season. And your winning percentage isn't equal because there is some part of the rigors of playing every day for the 2 months of the season that's different than playing for 1 month of the season with breaks in between. And so I think that you know, the commissioner's office is going to have to deal with this. There is no manual for it. They haven't negotiated it or discussed it or finalized it yet. You know, and I'm actually writing about this for .ca, but my belief is that they have to come up with a formula that at some point the number of games you play determines what you're eligible to participate in as a postseason team. For instance, my belief is that if a team plays, you know, between 50 and 60 games, then they could still be eligible to win a division, to be the second place team in a division or a wild card team. But if you get less than 50 games and you're from 40 to 49 games, then I think that you're only eligible to qualify as a wild card team with your winning percentage. That it's not the same as playing. You can't play 15 less games and think that you have the worthiness of winning a division. So at that point, you're only eligible to be a wild card team. And if you play less than 40 games, then you need to play the games, but you're not going to the playoffs. You've already been eliminated. And here's the thing. It may sound punitive, but in some way, if you've had an outbreak that has cost you this many games, you violated the health and safety protocol to some degree, and you have some responsibility for it, and you're going to have to live with it in this age. But I think that there's got to be some minimum number of games the teams can play.
How far away, like, what is going to happen? Is Manfred just going to say Cards, like, you're done for the year, or how does that transaction go down?
No, I think we need them to play, and so as soon as they're capable, but I think what has to happen is, you know, it's like when they cut away a tumor, at some point you need healthy skin on the other side. It's the same thing. We, you know, healthy boundaries, we need to get through to where we stop getting positive tests for a number of days before we can reconvene the group together. So I don't think we'll ever be there with the Cardinals. We need them to come back and play, but they may be disincentivized that they're not going to go to the postseason, but so be it. I mean, there are teams that are eliminated all the time that play out the season, and the Cardinals will have to do it. And yes, I feel badly for them. Yes, it's unfortunate. They've had some bad luck, but clearly this spread means that they didn't do some things properly. Now, it doesn't mean that it's all their fault, but I think we're going to have to deal with it. So I don't think we'll ever just say the Cardinals are done. I think at some point we get them to a healthy place and get them back in playing games for everybody else.
Steve, the Jays are at 6-9 right now. Where are you at with them? They're kind of in a position in the schedule where they kind of got to get on a heater here and get some momentum, but I don't feel overly confident that that's going to happen. It seems like a team where their youth is going to have hot streaks, their pitching is going to be up and down, they're just going to kind of hover around mediocrity all year. Is that where you see them, or do you see things kind of turning for these guys?
Well, I think that they can get hot. And so what we've seen is, you know, the way it stands right now, the Marlins, Orioles, and Tigers would make the playoffs. I mean, let that sink in a little bit.
It's nuts.
So, you know, right. And so interesting. I don't think they'll end up making the playoffs, but they got hot early. And you know, so their fan bases are excited. The Blue Jays can get hot. I actually feel like their season just started now that they've gotten to Buffalo. I mean, it really feels like this feels like some level of home to them. It's not home. You know, when somebody asks them, where do you guys go from here? They're going to say, we're going to Buffalo. They're not going to say, we're going home. They're going to say, we're going to Buffalo. But it's at least closer to being a home. And what the Blue Jays front office did, I think, is unbelievable. The level of detail they went to transform that stadium, they didn't cut corners. They tried to make it special. And I think the players really responded. We saw their offense break out. I mean, they scored 16 runs in the last two games for a team that was averaging 3 runs a game for the first 13 games of the season. And so it's a big difference what we've seen. I think that they have a chance. They've got to tighten things up. I think, you know, we're going to have to look at Charlie Montoya's going to have him out early doing some fundamentals, bunt defenses. The base running hasn't been very good. They've got to sort of regroup. But they can make a run in this division right now. Look, it's going to be the Yankees and the Rays are playing much better. But one of the wild card spots may very well be a team that you know, finished the season at 27-33, 28-32, 29. They can get there, but they've got to just start to play a little bit better and pay attention to details. So it feels to me like now that they have a home, they've got a chance to compete in a different way.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, you know, the pitching outside of last night has not been the issue with the Jays. Their stats have been pretty decent. The bullpen has held up okay. It's been the bats that have been mostly concerning, and they've broken out the past couple of nights. It didn't matter last night, even though they put 11 on the board. They lost to Miami. But Bo Bichette put on a clinic. He went 5-for-5. He had a walk in the 10th, 2 stolen bases, a home run. And you look at his stats now, his OPS is up over 1,000. He has been meeting the hype, like this, dating back to when he came up. He has met the hype. He's got the swag. He's locked in. He's connecting. He is the man. And how much more is there? Like, where do we go here with Bichette, considering the way he started and how good he's looked ever since he got here?
Yeah, I think it's about consistency now. I mean, look, he's shown on a single day, you know, in single days, let's say, that he's not only does he belong, but he's at times the best player on the field in a day. There's no question. Yesterday, I used to say to my boys when they go out and play, go out there and be the best player on the field. You know, let people walk away that day and say, well, that he was the player. And Bo Bichette does that. You walk away sometimes watching him, yeah, he was the best player out there today. I think now it comes down to that level of consistency. You know, I interviewed him in the spring, and I said to him, you know, it's really tough to put this on him, but I look at him and think he is to the Blue Jays what Derek Jeter was to the Yankees back in the day. That, you know, the face, the voice, the spokesman, the quote after the game, the responsibility of the captain role with or without the C on the jersey. You know, baseball, we don't often do that, but you know, that it was his team. You know, Jeter, the Yankees were Jeter's team, and it feels to me like the Blue Jays are Bo Bichette's team. Even with Vlad Jr. and all of that coming up, it's his team, and I think this is the start of what's going to be something really special in a career, in a relationship with a city, with a franchise, with an organization. I think in some ways he helps Vladimir Guerrero Jr. work through some of these early struggles because he's taken on some of that pressure and taken it away from him. At some point, the focus may go to Vlad Jr., but I think Bichette's really protected him in that way, and I think that it's the start of what is going to be a phenomenal career.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, and it feels like it. And this isn't some guy you'd never heard of that came out of nowhere. You know, he was a high draft pick with an MLB name and an MLB history. So I guess we shouldn't be so surprised, but the numbers have been spectacular, and I'm with you. I expect it to continue for a long, long time. When it comes to Charlie Montoya, I would say he has probably been the focus of the most ire from the fan base here in Toronto through the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, you know, which is not shocking. I mean, the manager's always coming up when you're a losing club. But he's made some strange decisions. You know, he had Joe Panik hitting DH. He's made some interesting calls with his bullpen. What do you need to see out of him the rest of the season? What does he have to change? What does he have to prove in order to, I guess, stay here for the next 2 or 3 years, if not more than that.
Yeah. So remember, I think a lot of times for the manager, like I would never DH Joe Panik. Like if I'm putting together the lineup for the Blue Jays, I would never DH Joe Panik. And I like Joe Panik. He's a great guy. But, you know, everything else. I like the left-handed bat mixing in. You want to sort of get some balance to your lineup. He's just not a guy you DH. He's not an impactful offensive player. No power, no speed. And so he has to have multiple hits in a game, and usually singles, in order to have the sort of impact that you want. And I don't want that to be my DH. So, look, I think that this is not a season that I think any manager in baseball, like we may not have any managerial changes after this year. It's such a quirky year. And the one thing to remember about Charlie Montoyo is that he's managing a team to win now that isn't necessarily built to win now. And so, you know, you look at it and think, well, I don't understand all the decisions, but, you know, he's taking players who are in a development mode, or should be, and putting them in a win now mode. And it doesn't always fit the right spot and the right piece and the right situation, but that's a personnel issue, not necessarily a managerial issue. And the other thing is that I think a lot of the decisions, like my guess is that the Joe Panik DH role, that there was somebody in the analytics department who made a suggestion that it might be a good fit for him in this situation, this matchup. You want to get his bat in, but you also want to get the other left-handed bats in the lineup, so here's a way to do it. And so, you know, I think there's usually more to an explanation to a decision like that than just the, you know, how could he possibly put this guy in that spot?
Steve, we had Kyle Dubas, the general manager of the Leafs, kind of address the city. What was your kind of game plan? Stinker season, how would you go about it? And I know you got to address the fans, the media, and kind of take it on the chin, and it's not very fun, but how do you kind of, you got a young group here. If you were the GM, what would be the kind of game plan? You got to try to appease everybody and feel bad for everybody involved, and you got to move forward. What was your game plan as a general manager after you addressed everybody, and how would you move forward?
Now, of course, I never had a stinker season as a general manager to have any real experience along these lines. So I'll just sort of think
about it.
What would,
anyway.
What would you tell yourself? Like, I got to just deal with this and then move forward?
Right. If I could just hypothetically, you know, if this were to have happened to me.
Right.
So I think the first thing is to accept responsibility. You know, I mean, you're not fooling anybody when you have a bad season. And so you have to accept responsibility for where you are. You have to also, in some ways, lay out expectations about what's going to change and where are you in the process. Is this going to be a quick change? Is this going to be a commitment that we're going to turn it around quickly, which means an investment in personnel in some way? And then it's, you know, laying out some part of a plan, but not all of it, because you don't want to tip your hand. But to at least, you know, acknowledge where you are, because that's really what people want. Is like, are you guys seeing this differently than we are? And if so, then that's a problem. Now, you know, the one thing you have to guard against is you can't play to the fan base. You can be honest.
No, of course.
But if you start to make personnel decisions for PR reasons, you're going to make bad personnel decisions. And I think that so you've got to lay it out. But don't lock yourself into a specific plan, because you know the market's fluid. You know players have choices. You know other teams may or may not make deals. You know players may not be healthy and may not recover in the way. So there's a lot to protect yourself against, but at least acknowledge the disappointment and the commitment, I think, moving forward.
Yep. Well, that doesn't always happen, and you don't always hear that, but I think that's the appropriate way of going about it. We appreciate you delving into a hypothetical for us, Steve.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime.
As always. We'll do it again soon.
No, of course not.
Thank you, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
You got it, guys. We'll see you.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Listen, he was in New York, too. Like, you
they had
it's
some
lean
years, right?
Yeah, they had some up and down years, for sure.
Said, like, the GM's got to accept responsibility. It always sounds so disingenuous. It's like, you know, that was my fault, but it's like, really? Like, we're talking about, like, we're not talking about a day trade where you got a player for a day. You're talking about long-term deals, big-time money, where they're just things aren't going away. It's,
well, you know what? Kyle said on our show yesterday, like, he needed to be better. I guess, should we have followed up and said how? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I guess I always feel bad for the front office person that has to speak for the team, and it's like, you bring these guys in, you pay them a ton of money. They go out and play. Like, they go out on the ice,
right?
And he's got to stand up there and say, yeah, that's my bad. That one's my bad. That one's my bad. It's
Well, but that comes with the that if you're the general manager, that's your job. Like, Kyle's not doing this for free. I'm sure he gets paid a lot of money.
Yep.
Like, you know, that's and I'm sure Shanny makes a lot of money. Like, you know, the hockey business, it's high pressure, but you're in one of the most prestigious positions in all of hockey.
No kidding.
It's
going to come again. He might not be around anymore to be able to even speak to everybody because no more stinkers. I think that will be a rule going into next year. No more stinkers. No more not qualifying for the playoffs or first-round exits or tanks or blowing games. That's not going to fly anymore.
Well,
no,
I don't know.
I don't think it should. It better not. And the same message better apply to the players, though, too, right? Like, they're really – I understand their commit. They want to believe that they're all going to break through. I get it. I look at the talent, too. We all see it. It's like, okay, you got talent. But – you keep saying every year it's learning, 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 and I'm telling you we're going to break through, break through, break through. At some point, maybe you just can't or you won't. And they're going to be given another year. Not everyone. There's going to be turnover, clearly.
Right.
And there has to be some upgrades made. But at some point, they're going to make a decision that, okay, it's not going to click or not for everyone or this group just is not capable of making that happen. And I don't think we're going much beyond next year.
Right.
Like, if they miss the playoffs, for sure, then it's a catastrophe. If they make it and they go out in the first again, no one's going to want to hear, you know, anything from them.
Yeah.
It'll just be like, okay, leave town and we'll let you know if you're coming back.
Well,
you
excuses, know, yeah. Like, that's the thing, you know. Excuses, like, every team is – Ken Holland had to do it. David Poile, like, you know, we saw Jimmy Rutherford. Like, they're – you know, every manager is doing these Zoom calls and saying stuff. Like, I don't know, there's people out there judging Kyle, and, you know, he was, I heard Masters say he thought he was chippy. What was Masters saying? Not chippy. What was the word?
I don't know, but a bit defensive,
you know what I mean,
at times.
Defensive and stuff. Like, you know, David Poile was pissed today. Like, you know, he's sitting there going, I expected more from my team. Ken Holland, I think Ken said, you know, we weren't good defensively. Like, there's things we need to work on, continue to work on. Like, every manager is sitting there reflecting on their season when they're sitting there watching other teams in there. You're sitting there watching Montreal Canadiens play last night. They weren't supposed to be in the playoffs. Chicago's playing right now. I mean, they're not going to beat Vegas. Vegas is going to rinse them.
Yeah, it feels that way anyway.
But you know, like, Chicago was, they're in a retool. They've got a you know, an older core, but they've got some really good young players. Like, you know, I think this is all gravy for a guy like Stan Bowman, you know.
Yeah, probably it's going to maybe keep the flies off him a little bit because he has been in the spotlight in Chicago.
Well, yeah.
And that guy's won three cups.
Yeah,
but he's won three cups, and people are calling him out. What do you think is going to happen here when you haven't won around in 15 years?
That's